We're still in Kings. I was hoping we would do away with the names. And they're gone. But something else has taken its place. A whole bunch of numbers. I still have difficulties in changing regular numbers to decibels or vice versa. But now they're talking cubics and all these sort of things. So I'll try my best. That each should loyally accept and heartily do his own share in building the temple of the Lord. The Lord brought together two that they became one. I mentioned that last week, where Hiram, the Gentile king, and Solomon, the Jewish king, put aside their differences, came together as one, and built a home unto the Lord. And even though Hiram was a Gentile, and that he didn't believe in the deity of the God that Solomon believed in, he was obedient as well. And it was a win-win situation where they both benefited. Together in their own way, assisting each other, doing their own share. And it begins in Solomon's fourth year of reign as he starts building the temple. Solomon starts to build a temple according to the specific design, instructions that had been given to his father David. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, hewn stones, to be laid the foundation of the temple. Solomon's builders, Hiram's builders, and the Jebelites quarried them, and they prepared the timber and the stones to build the temple. In the 1800s, a discovery was made in Jerusalem, and now it's pretty sure of validity of the find. I need to ask, how many of us have been to Jerusalem? Really? Awesome. So then, with saying that, it's a place of a lot of history. A lot of history. We need to let our imagination go wild just for a moment, or maybe for this next 45 minutes, to place ourselves in that place as we walk along the streets in the path that I want to take you. Let's place ourselves there and imagine walking. You're walking now, taking in all the breathtaking beauty and the wonder of this foreign place. Right now, walking, as we're taking this path that maybe it might have been the very same path that Jesus had taken when he was there. Imagine the same steps, the same cobblestones, and the same whatevers where Jesus had walked as well. We're at the Damascus Gate, soaking it all in, and we all decided to go left. Continuing on, we now come to another gate along the wall. Herod's Gate. Now, the thing that was brought, why I brought this up was that in the 1800s, there was a find. Then I'll get back to our walk after. But right now, the discovery that was made was between these two gates. They discovered the sinking area that led them into caves. As they explored the cave, they discovered labyrinths of caves connected to one another. What had happened, what they discovered was a place where the quarrying stones were done that was under the city of modern Jerusalem. Back then, though, it was still considered part of the outskirts of the city, so that they saw all the markings on the limestones that were cut. And they all believed that the quarries of the stones that were cut belonged to Solomon. So we are still on this walk. We continue on. And so it can be visited as well today. I believe we'd want to go if we had the chance. Again, even for some of us. To see the actual marks in the area where the stones were cut. Now, in the preparation of this short message, even just the preparation of getting a brick out of a wall, the tools that they had and what they used in itself was awesome. I mentioned last week that all work had to be done on this off the site. As these stones were finally processed and hewn, made smooth and even cut to size before bringing them there. Prefabricated, done before everything that it was brought to the site. So now in chapter 6 of verse 1. Wait, I'm not there yet. Chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in the 480th year of after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." David had taken a city, the Jebusite city, and it became the city of David. That's where he ruled, he reigned, and Solomon had decided to expand the city, going outside the city walls towards the top of the mountain, because it was actually built on a hill. Now, north of the city where the hill was, there was a bit of a plateau. This is, if you remember, was where David had bought the threshing floor of Ornan. And it was here where David is now to build the temple. This is where the Temple Mount is. The Temple Mount is called by the Jews Har Ha'Be'it, which is in Hebrew, the mountain of the house. Because, again, that becomes the navel of the world to them, not just Jerusalem, but the Temple Mount. So Solomon begins to build the temple where Mount Moriah is, where Abram almost sacrificed his son. I'm sure we remember the story, but I'm going to read a little bit of it. In Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to start off in verse 10. "And Abram," this is as he was commanded by the Lord to sacrifice his son. his only son. He brought him up the mountain, prepared the place where he was going to put his son, and sacrificed him unto the Lord. And Abraham, as he is walking up the hill, up the mountain, carrying all the necessary supplies that he had alongside his son and two of his servants. Can we imagine us walking up the same hill as well, but garbed in the things that we are used to using when we go hiking or climbing, that we'd have our energy bars, we'd have our Gatorade All Sport in our Yeti bottles, and our aluminum strengthened walking sticks and special shoes up that mountain. Now it says here in verse 10 that as Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, he lifted the knife. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from the heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." So what can you imagine that had might meant? Now you remember, I going back and forth when Abraham went up the mountain and when we went up the mountain. Did we take note of anything as we were climbing the mountain? No. Neither did Abraham, because Abraham was focused, obedient to what the Lord has asked him to do without question, focusing on what was needed to be done to do what the Lord wanted him to do. All the way to the point that the angel of the Lord stopped him, but what it had appeared, that the Lord would provide a sacrifice. It was a ram in a thicket to be used in place of his son. We didn't notice that when we were climbing that ourselves. There was no thicket, bush. There was no ram. I was to do what I was told to do and be obedient and get it done. And that's what we are all to do, to be obedient by the leading of the Lord through the Holy Spirit and just do it. The verse 13, it ended up, it says, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." Again, Mount Moriah, where the threshing floor of Oran was, that David had bought, and Solomon began to build. Now, interestingly, there are three religions. There's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They all revere that temple. That's why it's been, for the many years in its existence, a hotly contested piece of land for many years. That's why when a Jewish diplomat climbs that hill and walks onto the Temple Mount, there's a huge protest even before he takes his first step, because each believes they have the right to that mountain. It becomes news not just locally but worldwide, the focus on the Temple Mount. Why? Because they all have had their hopes around that temple. But all the religions, whether it be Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, have in their theology the belief that a deliverer, and it depends which religion, that the deliverer of that religion will come from the east gate of the Temple Mount. Eventually, eventually. We don't know when that's going to come or that's going to happen, but we're commanded to be prepared, be ready in a blink of an eye. So the Temple Mount is always the hottest place on earth. So it was there that Solomon began to build the temple. If you were to go there, you would still see a massive flat structure of 37 acres that was expanded by Herod the Great in the New Testament. Solomon built the temple. It was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar at around 586 BC. 70 years later, when the children of Israel returned back to Jerusalem, under the guidance of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, they rebuilt it again. Later on, that temple of Zerubbabel gets remodeled by Herod because he now fills the whole area with dirt and on top of the mountain and puts limestone to make it flat, which now is to be used as a courtyard for the Gentiles. And the temple itself will be placed in the middle. Verse 2. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, its width 20, and its height 30 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches or a foot and a half long in length. You see here, Solomon doubled the dimensions in making this temple, the dimensions that were given by God to his father as they were building the tabernacle. And if you remember, the tabernacle structure was of cloth, put together out in the wilderness. And what we have are the measurements and dimensions doubled what the God has given. The dimensions that were followed by Solomon, so high, so deep, so wide, I know. Not to